Okay. I'm not really sure. I don't want to spend time with introduction, first of all, because it's not the first Mitzvah. The third Mitzvah. But I just want a one-minute introduction. What is a Mitzvah, at least in my understanding. Now, other people might have different. They're all right. Eidu v'eidu. But the way I understand it like this is that the Mitzvah Shmuzim main purpose is to teach the guys two things. To teach the guys how to approach a chazal, how to get inspired to see what we said, and we gave the introduction, the emes of chidushim that's in that chazal. So you get inspired from every time you learn chumash, every time you learn a parsha, every time you look at Rashi, you get inspired because you see something amazing. Also, the Musar Shmuzim are to teach guys intellectual hashkafas that some people don't have. One of the big hashkafas of the yeshiva is, it comes from Rav David, I don't have time for the whole story, is that most people are sincere, but the reason why people don't do what's right is not lack of sincerity, but very often lack of knowledge. Meaning they think that you know, person thinks that conservatism is right. Right? It's not a conservative Jew is not insincere. Conservative Jews might just be misinformed. You have a person who fights for women's rights or for abortion or whatever, gay rights. Right? They could be very sincere. They're misinformed. But there could be many more levels of misinformed on a much more dacus level. So the shmuzim purpose is to learn how to get inspired from a pasuk, to see the mukhluk de kashmuz, and two is to teach real, true hashkafas. The way I understand the purpose of the Mitzvah is neither. The purpose of the Mitzvah is basically not to teach chidushim and not to teach, you know, is just to help people practically apply what we hold. In other words, it's practical. Okay. You succeeded in inspiring me. I'm motivated. I'm inspired. I want to daven with more kavana. But give me a plan. You know, you go ahead and you say, I'm motivated. I must lose 100 pounds. But give me a plan. Then you give me a book, Atkins Diet. Okay, and you give me menus. Okay, I have a plan. It's not necessary. Maybe you say claim there's a chiddush. But it's not necessary that it's a chiddush, the diet. But they give me a worked out plan. I just follow the menu and I'm all set. People very often, they're motivated, but they want the maisa. Okay, how do I implement my motivation, the maisa? In my mind, that's the main thing of the Mussar Vat. Now, of course, like I said in the Shmuzim, we don't always succeed in doing what we have to accomplish, and not every Mussar Vat is a good Mussar Vat. But that is where I understand the purpose of the Musavat, is to give practical suggestions how to implement what we intellectually know. Not to give intellectual chidushim, not to give even inspiration so much, but mainly is to be practical. Okay, I'm motivated, I'm driven, but I need some practical suggestions how to implement it. Oh, have I care? Okay, so I just gave my introduction, what the how I understand the purpose of Musavat, so it's just so we shouldn't be disagreeing. So in one sentence, I said that the way I understand it, the Musavat, the Shmuz, is to teach the guys, Kedushim, how to approach a Chazal and Hashkafa Zachayim, proper Hashkafa, while the Musavat is not supposed to have any Kedushim. The guys are not supposed to Musar teach guys things that they didn't know. It just help people implement practically what they are already motivated. It's not even so much to inspire you. You're hopefully inspired too. That's Musar Seder. But you need suggestions. People need aids. Practical aids. You know, it is amazing that with all the Musar Svarim, there are, as far as I know, there's really no Musar Sefer that does this. You know, a little bit Rav Oba, you know, and then it does this a little bit in the Ale Shur. But basically, as far as I know, there's no Mussar Sefer that gives you practical suggestions. Like if you, okay, the Messiah's Yisharim will motivate you. I want to do Zahiris. I want to do Zrizis. I want to do Nikias. But, okay, but now, how do I do it? I want to quit smoking, but how? I wake up in the morning and I have this tremendous urge to smoke. Like, okay, I want to quit. You know, I want to stop having Hirurim Raim, but they're in there, you know? What do I do? So that's why I understand the Musafat. Okay, that's my introduction. In that light, being that today, as everyone knows, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, we are a little bit late, more than a little late. We're basically 3 weeks late, because you're supposed to start working Rosh Hashanah in Edel, beginning of Edel. So the Musafat, I think that this should be, practically speaking, what do we do in Edel to work for Rosh Hashanah? Hopefully everyone is motivated. We're not trying to motivate you. Person's motivated, I would love to do tshuva, right? Tshuva, tefillah, staka, mavirim, es roa, gzera. And even Rosh Hashanah, even though Rosh Hashanah, Edel for sure it's tshuva, but tshuva before Rosh Hashanah, but even Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is one of the asaris you made tshuva. Even though we don't say Vida in Rosh Hashanah, you're definitely supposed to do tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. So the tshuva seems to be, I don't say the only thing, just tshuva, tefillah, ustaka. But tshuva definitely seems to be an ikar component, and seems to be what they talk about the most in the Svarim, about getting a good din in Rosh Hashanah. I recently saw someone said, quoted of the author from Kelm, that he said, the author from Kelm says that everyone's a petrified Rosh Hashanah, that they could get a bad din. You know, you can be there on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to break your leg. You know, but we believe. You know, I was by Rav Shadron once, and right after the 73 war, which was on Yom Kippur, and he said that we should hear that the war was nigzar on Rosh Hashanah. And all the people got killed, it was on Rosh Hashanah. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a serious day. You can really get a gzera, which is not good in Rosh Hashanah. But Rav Simcha Zizu said, you should hear that you can also get a good gzera on Rosh Hashanah. You know, you can get a gzera that you'll become a multimillionaire. It's not just a gzera that you'll lose all your money. You can have a gzera that you'll make lots of money. You can be a gzera that you're going to become have tremendous siyata d'shmayat. It's not just a day that you can get bad gzeras. It's also a day for good gzeras. It's a day of judgment where Shem puts into play certain things for the year, but that's for good or for bad. Rosh Hashanah is really a yontif. The reason it's a yontif is because we believe that we hopefully we do somewhat tshuva and we get kapara. We do not necessarily believe we get full kapara, because maybe we don't believe we do full tshuva. But there's all this forum talk about that there's partial credit. And partial credit means that even if you do, the Svarim say a tremendous chiddush, that it's very, this is a chiddush, okay, I'm not supposed to say chiddushim, but I have to say it because it's important to know, otherwise people quit. The Rosh Hashanah says this, that tshuva is different than almost every other mitzvah. Every mitzvah, he says, if you put on tzitzis and it's possible, you have 3 out of 4 corners, you did nothing. If you got 3 out of 4 parshas and tefillin, you did nothing. It's possible. He says, tshuva, whatever degree you do, you get partial credit. Obviously, if you do it right, you get the sum is greater than the parts. But the ma'isa, there's partial credit. He says, if a person does charata, even if he says, I feel bad, I'm doing the avera, but I'm not stopping because I can't stop and I'm not going to stop, says you get partial credit. If you do kabbalah wa'asid without charata, you also get partial credit. If you do partial charata, you also get partial credit. You know, there's infinite levels of partial credit. So it's pretty good, because even if you get knocked off 5%, that's pretty good. If you owe $1 million, they knock off 5%. That's a nice amount. If you knocked off 10%, that's even better. If you knocked off 20%, better. So Rosh Hashanah is a yontif, because we believe that we get at least partial credit. Okay. Anyway, so let's get to the work we wanted to get to. The big shaila is, how do we work on Rosh Hashanah or Edel? So let's first start with Edel. What is the purpose of Edel? What do I need Edel for? Why can't I just wait It's much more easier to get inspired on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it's even easier to wait till Yom Kippur, then you really get inspired. So let's cut out that. I have to wait a whole month of that. We'll cut out Rosh Hashanah. I'll wait. Come Yom Kippur, during the Ela, I'll get myself inspired and I'll do tshuva. What do I need Edel for? I think it's a good question. So there is a, you know, again, I'm being over and aveir against what I said. But it's important. Yedia, the Rav Itzala Petterberg says, an intellectual chiddush, which is very radical, that he says that there's a chazal in many places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a judgment like a basar v'dam, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bright enough, smart enough to have a running cheshbon every second. Says Rosh Hashanah, the reason why Hashem makes a Yom Din of once a year is for us, because if it was a judgment every second, we couldn't relate to it. So Hashem makes a day of judgment for our benefits to help us do tshuva. Therefore, if the whole reason for Rosh Hashanah is for our benefit, so he structures it similar to a bus of it done. We make a court case. Because that's so that the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah is that we can relate to it and therefore do tshuva. So Rav Itzala, that's Rav Yisrael Salanter's main Talmud in the 1800s, says that in a bus of it done court case, a person who comes earlier to the court case and begs for mercy will be more likely to get mercy. Because after the 100th person comes in and says, "Oh, Your Highness, I sinned, but forgive me," at some point, you get tired. You know, I don't know. It's like the first guy that asks for tzedakah. You know, the first guy knocks on your door. You have, you know, these carload comes up with mishalachim. You know, six guys in the same car. So the first guy knocks on your door, you give him a nice donation. A second guy, and then at the next second guy comes. Where'd he come from? Third second, the next third guy comes. Fourth, you know, at some point, you become a little bit less generous. So he says, that's human nature. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following Basar V'dam, because the din is like Basar V'dam. So the earlier a person comes to the din, the earlier the person's din on Rosh Hashanah, then the better off he is. So what determines whether who gets the earlier din? So he has different factors, but one of the factors is, again, like Basar V'dam, first come, first serve. You get online first, you get served first. So he says, those people who come in Elul and they make hachanas for Rosh Hashanah, that's called getting online first. Therefore, they get their din earlier on Rosh Hashanah, so to speak. And it could be like a split harif ayin early, I don't know what it means. But in the Meida, they end up with more rachmanis. So there is a mystical advantage of starting in Elul. But practically, we're not, that was over. That was not legal. Okay. Yeah, I'll get there. Don't worry. Well, I mean, you can worry.
No, that's what I was for.
Yeah, but why can't I do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? Why not? I get an hour. I'll sit down for an hour, Rosh Hashanah. Much more inspiring. So the Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's no yeshiva Erev Rosh Hashanah. We have a whole day off. What am I supposed to do the whole day off? Why yeshiva gives off Erev Rosh Hashanah is a mystery for me. I don't know whose idea that is. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You know, it really doesn't. That Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Shavuot and Erev Yom Kippur, we have no yeshiva. It's one of the pliyats asumits, but that's a minig, so we don't change minhagim. But so you have off Erev Rosh Hashanah, you got a nice 2 hours. You know, at least you have nothing to do. You're single. It's not like you have to help out at home. So you're single. So fine. So from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, you have 3 solid hours. You do tshuva, you're fine. What do we need Edel for? So there's 2 answers, I think. Maybe there's probably more. The first answer is, I think the second answer is the better answer. But the first answer is, that one of the big problems with people doing tshuva is they forget their kabbalas. That's, I think, about almost the biggest problem. Comes when, especially the crazy way yeshivas are set up, that as soon as Yom Kippur is over, it's vacation. So guys get all inspired on Yom Kippur. They make some real commitments on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is, you know, it builds up. And Yom Kippur is when most people really do make their most, even when you sit on adult, but still, you know. Yeshua, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Rabbi Naiman's amazing, doubting, whatever it is, okay. And then, yeshiva's over. So I made a kapoah, I'm going to learn an extra half hour. That's just an example. But it's on Yom Kippur. You can't even write down on Yom Kippur. Then there's no yeshiva, so you never implemented it. Now, a month later, basically, yeshiva starts. You think you remember that you made such a kapoah? Most people don't even remember it. So it's not even a chance to do it, because they don't even remember that they even said that. I said that. I, you know. So at least, if you do it in Edel, first of all, you can write it down, which is a big advantage. It says in the Marsha, Kuhi Mochem Dvarim, is that you're supposed to write it down. Yeah, that's true. And second of all, you get already a momentum, a habit. If you've already been doing it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before this man ends, so it's a little bit more likely that you're got a better chance you're going to continue. You know, this is, I already put into effect. I already been doing this. It's not like I said one day, okay, Rosh Yom Kippur, I'm going to do it. Or even Asaras Yemei Teshuva, it's a whole 1 week. You know, it's at least 2 weeks. You know, I've been doing it for a while. I've been already doing it. I implemented it. And I started doing it. Once you start doing something, you're much more likely to continue. So that is one advantage of starting in Edel. The main reason, though, for Edel, and it's what I heard from many great people, is that most people do not know themselves, including us. We don't really know what we're capable of doing and what we're not capable of doing. There are certain things, for example, most guys who come from high school, and many guys in high school barely learned anything. For any guys who are coming from high school. But there are many guys in high school who barely learned anything. They come to Beis Medrash, and they learn until 10 o'clock at night. Now, you come up to them in high school and say, and when they're seniors, why don't you learn for another 3 hours? It'll get you crazy. What? 3 hours of learning? I can't do that. But apparently you could, because look, a month later, you're sitting from 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, and you're learning. So here, the guy's under the impression, that's what I was talking about in Musar Vad, you know, in Musar Seder today, the guy's under the impression, I can never make up for Minyan, I'm a night person, and it's an illusion. So I'm in under illusion that I can't learn Basmada, and I can't. Very often, more often, it's also the other way. Most people are Bali Gaiva. If I wanted to stop, I could stop whenever I want to stop. You know why I smoke? Because I enjoy smoking. I drink because I enjoy drinking. I do this Savera because I enjoy it. I'm not addicted. What I'm addicted means I'm a slave to my, I have no power. Nah. Right? That's, say you're addicted is against your gaiva. So many people think that they, now the truth is you really could stop, but it's much, much harder, some things, than you think. Some things are much easier, and some things are much harder. So if you just make kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the odds are you'll make the wrong kabbalas. You'll be mekabel something, and then you'll see it's just not practical. You can't do it. It's too hard. I don't say you can't. Can't's not a good word. There's no such thing almost as can't. But practically speaking, where you're holding, you're not going to do it. It's not, you were made a kabbalah that you're, it's not realistic. That is why most people in the world make kabbalahs to go on diets and they don't keep it. Most people make kabbalahs to go to gyms and they never keep it, right? People make all kinds of kabbalahs and they don't keep them. That's the minig of the world, and not just in the geisha world, you know, in the geisha world, Torah world, because people make kabbalahs that aren't realistic for them. And the best eitzah is to test it. You make a kabbalah in Edel. In Edel, you don't have to make a kabbalah because you're not, Rav Zuckerman was very, very big that you shouldn't make a kabbalah and then break it. Because if you make kabbalahs and you break it, then as years go by, you lose the motivation that I made a kabbalah, because so what? I gave my word. Yeah, but I break my word all the time. So it says the best thing is that you don't break Kabbalahs. But how can you not break your Kabbalahs if you don't know if the Kabbalah is realistic or not? So you have to experiment. You go ahead, you have a week, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and you try. I think it would be a wonderful thing for me to do this and this, to daven the first bracha Shmon Esrei with Kavana, to do this, to do that. Let me see, is it realistic? Can I do it? What? No, it's not a Kabbalah yet. I didn't make it as a Kabbalah. I'm making it as a trial. It's a trial balloon. I'm making for this is a week before Rosh Hashanah. I'm doing a trial balloon. I'm going to try it for a week. If I see that it goes really, really well, then maybe comes Rosh Hashanah, I'll make that as my Kabbalah. If I see that it's much harder than I thought, then comes Rosh Hashanah, I'll adjust it. I'll play around with it. I'll figure out how to tune it. I'm running late like always. I got to speed up. Okay, anyway, so that's why you have to start in Edel. Now, what are you supposed to do in Edel? What type of Kabbalahs are you supposed to make? So this is the main point, and we got, regretfully, I probably need 2 or 3 Musar Vadim for this, but my fault for being sick, or other faults, so we'll have to crunch it all in. The biggest, we on one end, we want to make Kabbalahs. The problem is, how do we stop ourselves from making Kabbalahs and not keeping them? Right? That's what we basically said. So we already mentioned some of the solutions, which means what are the right type of Kabbalahs that you should make in Rosh Hashanah. The one suggestion, which I always like to say over, is a Navardika suggestion. The Navardic suggestion, the problem is that human nature is people burn out. They lose their motivation. A person decides to go, I don't know how many of you ever went to decide to go on a diet, but I can be made. But you go on a diet, it goes good for first week, second week, third week, maybe even fourth week, and after that, give me that piece of cake, you know? I'm sick of this already. You know, lettuce again, forget it. You know, I had it. You know? So the people lose their motivation. So how do you make a Kabbalah that you're going to stick to? That's the biggest problem. Now, there's another problem, but we get to it if we have time. But that's the biggest problem. So I always like to say over the Navardika mashal. Navardika has a mashal that you have a train, a heavy train, that has to get over a very, very skimpy bridge. And the train is too heavy for the bridge. If the train will go on the bridge will break under the weight of the train. So you're stuck. What are you supposed to do? So the Navardika mashal is, what you do is, you roar up the engine. You put a lot of, you know, in those days, coal in the engine. You get the train roaring to go, and then you speed across the bridge. The bridge will collapse. Yeah, but the bridge won't collapse till you're already on the other side. And then what do you care if the bridge collapses? You're already on the other side. In fact, you're even happier now. No one can catch you, whatever. So the nimsho is that if you can roar up the engine and do it before your motivation runs out, that's great. So our example of a diet. Right? If you can go on a crash diet and you can lose all the weight in a week, that's great. That's why people love crash diets, even though they're not healthy. Because you know, I know I'm going to lose my motivation in a week or two, but meanwhile, by then, I already lost my weight. The same thing can be done in Ruchnius. Let's say I have a problem with my internet, right? So to say that I'm going to have the strength of character all year to stare my internet in the face and not look at it, that's not so pushy. Maybe now I'm motivated, but in a month from now, I'm going to be in a crummy mood. You know how depressing it is to be lying in bed with a foot that hurts you. You can't do anything, and you're on this kind of drug cooking with your head is swimming, and you have nothing to do, and you got this little internet gadget next to you, you know, and wonder what's on there, right? Anyway, of course, I didn't have an internet gadget next to me. But a person can definitely lose his motivation. So there's a suggestion. The suggestion, the Varnik suggestion is, you get rid of the internet now. You get yourself all motivated, and you take your television, and we always like, you throw it out the window. You take your computer, you throw it out. If you throw it out, that's it. There's no nisayon anymore. So let's say, in a month you lose the motivation. Who cares? Now, I can buy a new television. Okay, hopefully that much motivation you'll still have that you're not going to go out and buy a new one. But the guy who has a girlfriend, so you get yourself motivated, you break up. Once you broke up, you broke up. There were guys they wanted to have an extra Seder. You know, in Israel, it was very common. They would ask Rabbi Kinarik for a Seder. Once they had a commitment with everyone, at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what, he was amazing. So once you committed yourself to learn Rabbi Kinarik at 1 o'clock in the morning, you were stuck. You can't not show up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So, on my own, my motivation would run out. I'm not ready. I got motivated. I should learn it with Sarah Motsoi Shabbos at 1 o'clock in the morning. 2 weeks later, I lost that motivation. But I'm committed because I asked Rabbi Kinarik and he am stuck. It could be not Rabbi Kinarik. It could be another guy. I made a chavrusa with a high school kid, with a younger guy, with an older guy, whatever it is. There are ways. The Navardic trick is, whatever you can do that it's finished, that's the best. Because motivations dry out. Okay. What about things that you can't finish? So we already mentioned quickly that you should write down notes. We mentioned that. Please write it down. Okay. So most of the Bawi Musar, all the Bawi Musar say, that the trick is that you have to pick something easy. Because something easy, so even when you lose your motivation, you'll still likely do it. What's an example of something easy? A guy wants to work on davening with Kavana, right? I don't daven Shmona Esrei with an iota Kavana. I think it's terrible. Something hard is a mikabel. From now on, I'm going to say every single word of Shmona Esrei Kavana. Sounds, what's so difficult? 5 minutes, the whole Shmona Esrei, 5 minutes. I can't focus for 5 minutes. Sounds very easy, but it's really, if you ever tried it, it's very, very hard. Believe me. Whole Shmona Esrei Kavana. Boy, man, that's hard. Anyway, but that's hard. So you want to do something easy. So you say something easy that from now on, I'm going to, whenever I have to make an awa michya, I'm going to say it from a sitter. Now that's relatively easy. And right now, you barely say an awa michya because even when you say it, you don't pronounce half the words right. Or you skip half the word because you don't even know it by heart. But I'm ready to bet that if you would test guys on awa michya, guys who say it pal peh, have them say it over, 90% of the guys would miss out half the words, half quarter of the words. Same with Asher Yotzer, all the big shots saying Asher Yotzer themselves. But okay, anyway, so I make a Kabbalah that from now on I'm going to say Awa Michya with a sitter. Oh, well, that's hard. Well, it's not so hard because first what you do is you take a sitter and you put it in your packet, right? It's supposed to be a kiss, but all kiss, you put it in your wallet. Okay. Now, right, that's the Navarik thing of the bridge, right? So now it's over. I always have a sitter on me because I always have my wallet on me. I always got my driver's license on me, in case I want to get a drink or something, So I always got my wallet. So now I always got a sitter. So what's the big deal, once I have my wallet on me, to go ahead and make an Asher Yotzer or an Awa Michya from a sitter? It's very, very easy. So that's an example of an easy, easy Kabbalah. Right? There are lots of examples like that if you're creative. When what you really... But the problem is, I'm sorry if I'm going late. The problem is, but good, but I have big aveiros. I don't have to, I got these major aveiros, Avodah Zarah, Gidereis, and Shvichas Damim. And you're telling me, you want to do tshuva, so make a kabbalah, you're going to say, Awa Michya from a sitter, Yashikayach, So the answer is, and this is a big answer, that your Kabbalah Awa Osed does not necessarily mean Kabbalah Awa Osed tomorrow. But Chatzchila means that way. But B'dieved it doesn't mean that way, which means I'm doing Avodah Zarah, Gidei Rais, and Shvichas Damim. I feel terrible. I have Charata. Charata you can have on everything. Now I have to have Kabbalah Osset. Kabbalah Osset, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to stop. And I'm sincere. I want to stop, and I'm going to stop. But not tomorrow. It's not realistic for me to stop tomorrow. I'll stop in 10 years. But you know how I'm going to stop in 10 years? Because I have a 10-year plan. And the first step in my 10-year plan is I'm going to start making an Asher Yatzar from a sitter. Because mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and I start improving my quality of davening. Because davening affects. Everyone says you start davening with a sitter, you have more kavanah. You have more kavanah. I start having more kavanah with Asher Yatzar or Asher Al-Mikya, then I'm going to move on to benching. And then once I get benching down, I'm going to move on to Shemona Esrei. And once I get on to Shemona Esrei, then I'm going to feel more Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's going to cause me. And there is such a thing of mitzvah gereres mitzvah. We're not always so smart to figure out how it works.
Is even Shalom Lishma, or I'm just assuming that people are having such ideas in mind that because of their Al-Mekhya, that the male are going to stop at their Abu Dazar?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. That, yes. Person is supposed to be, I'm not so smart, but I believe that this is what all the Bawi Musars say, that little steps, you know, that it's snowball. If you go, you know, all the Musars from you, you know, if you go off the Tower of Pisa, that's what it's called. If the first step is a drop off, it's slightly crooked. On the 10th story, it's, you know, things have a snowball effect. So it's true in bad, and it's true in good. So little improvements equal big improvements in 10 years from now. If you allow yourself to continue, so you can sincerely say, and sincerity, not fake, you can sincerely say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is what I heard from Rav Zuckerman. He's supposed to say it like this. I'm doing Avodah Zarah, Girash, Chazamah. Okay, we're exaggerating a little bit. I feel terrible. I'm going to try and stop now. Right, you can't say I'm not stopping now, because that's awesome. I'm going to try and stop now. But I don't want to make a Kabbalah, because, you know, I don't want to use up the power of Kabbalahs. I'm going to try. And maybe once in a while I'll succeed, but if the guy really gets on my nerves, I'll probably kill him, you know. Okay, but, you know, okay, but I'm going to try. There'll be some people I won't kill. Okay. But you know what? Davening with a sinner, that I'm a kabbal. So it's a double kabbalah. I'm a kabbal to try the whole gamut, and I'm a kabbal choik v'lo yavor, something relatively simple. But what you have to do, he said, is at least make some connection. In other words, I want to work on Gidei Arayos. Now, I don't know if I would pick davening with a sitter for Gidei Arayos. You find something in Gidei Arayos, but it's better. I don't want to say it is true, but it's better if you have a more, sometimes go, it's direct and indirect. More direct, the better it is. So you look for something in Gidei Arayos, which is some little step that I can make, choik v'lo yavor, which I can accept. So let's say that my problem is histaklis and dvarim or asurim. So there's some form of histaklis which I feel, you know, it's not, I don't know, I can't, I'm not prepared offhand. You know, this I can do relatively easily. I don't have to, you know, I can throw out my collection of such and such magazines, whatever, that aren't so kosher, or that I can do. Or, you know, this step I'll do, this for sure. More than that, I don't know, I'll try. Then, okay, so now I made a first step of a Kabbalah. I'm going to try more, but I made a first step in Gidei Arayos. Okay, Avodah Zarah, you know what my Avodah Zarah is. So I'm going to make a first step in Avodah Zarah. Shvichas Damim, you know, my first step, Shvichas Damim means, you know, I assume doesn't mean you necessarily take a knife, but there are other ways of killing people without knives, just for the record. You know, if you say things that, you know, can definitely be very hurtful. There are people that do really, it's not such a joke, there are people that are probably over on Shvichas Damim pretty often. You know, anyway, so you make a Kabbalah on the, you know, you try and find something. I think is that you have charata, and it takes time. It can't be done in 5 minutes. You have to, first of all, you have to have charata, sincere charata on the gamut. You have to know where you're holding. You have to sincerely be motivated. Sincerely have charata. So now you're for sure getting partial credit because you have charata on everything. Okay? That's good. But I don't want just partial credit. I want total credit or partial total credit, whatever. So now I want to do Kabbalah Asid. Okay? So Kabbalah Asid, I make a Kabbalah. I'm going to try to stop fully. But in case that doesn't work, because a lot of people I know tried and didn't succeed, and even myself, maybe last year I tried and I didn't succeed. So in case it doesn't work, because I'll run out of motivation in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, so I have a secondary plan. The backup plan is that I'm making a easy kabbalah on something which is a haschala of that inyan. And you have to brainstorm, and you need a lot of thought. Maybe you need a good few hours of something which is a haschala in that inyan, which I think I can definitely keep all year, even when my motivation gets lost. And then you write it down, and you start implementing it so you'll remember it. And then you have a chance of, Be'ez Hashem, you got charata, you got a kabbalah wasid, and you can get at least partial credit for everything. You know, not real partial, because you're doing a real kabbalah also too. Maybe you're not doing the best kabbalah also, but you're doing a really good tshuva on everything. Anyway, I heard from other people too. That is the lechatchila way, and that takes a lot of work, and that's also what partial at adults for. And a lot of thinking, and then you try it, and then you see that maybe it's not as easy as you thought, and some of the things you thought are so cinchy or not so cinchy, and then you have to readjust it again. And that's what's, you know, for this week and next week. And at the end, when it comes Yom Kippur, you get yourself basically down. And Erev Yom Kippur, you should definitely write it down, if not before, sooner. Erev Rosh Hashanah, you have a plan of a two-step process. This is what I would preferably like to do. And this is what I am definitely like to doing. And there is a logical sequence that this is eventually going to lead there. So either I'm going to lose 100 pounds tomorrow, and if not, in 10 years from now, I'll lose 100 pounds. Just for a record, I went to see a hall today for my daughter's wedding, and the guy said he lost 100 pounds in 4 months. I was amazed. Apparently you can do such a thing. No, I went to see a wedding this time. Henry, his name is. But I just see, people think it can't be done. Okay, Shikayah.